Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome in to a new episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Today's episode is brought to you courtesy of our friends and partners over at SeatGeek. Download the SeatGeek mobile app and enter the promo code LORockets, and you can get a $20 rebate today off of your first ticket purchase from SeatGeek. So as we chat on this Friday morning, the Rockets are coming off a loss just a few hours ago to the Portland Trail Blazers, 117-107 in Portland. It's the second consecutive loss for the Rockets, who have now fallen to 51-24 on the year. Still, of course, have a virtual lock on the number three seed in the Western Conference, so these games don't really matter much from a big picture perspective. However, it's certainly a continuation of some of the trends we saw in Tuesday's game against the Warriors. Quite frankly, the Rockets' offense, in the absence of Ryan Anderson and Montrezl Harrell, and with James Harden clearly limited by the wrist, just isn't good enough. The Rockets on Tuesday shot 5 of 31 from behind the arc. Thursday, they weren't much better at 8 of 34. Below 25% in both games, and when you have that kind of performance against a quality opponent, which the Warriors certainly are, and the Blazers, they've been playing some good ball, and you play them in Portland, the talent for the Blazers has always been bigger than the sum of the parts this year, but it feels like the last couple of weeks that Portland started to put it together, so I think that's kind of a sneaky, dangerous matchup, and when you combine it with a Rockets team that's clearly limited, well, it's going to be tough to win that game. First off, let's give some credit to Ryan Anderson. I know a lot of people don't want to talk about him, but it's pretty clear that in his absence, the explosiveness of the team does take a hit. He had two straight games below 25% from three, 5 of 31, 8 of 34. Just having him as a floor spacer, having the option for him early in a first or third quarter to get hot and hit two or three from behind the arc, I think the Rockets clearly missed that. I think they also miss having Montrezl Harrell as an energy option. When you're not efficient from three, when your offense isn't doing its normal thing, I know that's weird to say in a game that, well, you scored 107 points, but we know how the Rockets under Mike D'Antoni play right now. One of the only options the Rockets have off that bench to play a little bit different style is Montrezl Harrell, his ability to scrap, and, well, they don't have him right now either. But the real story, in my opinion, is James Harden. I said it going in. Is he healthy? Well, it's pretty clear that he's not. I guess the positive, this is the first game in the past week that he hasn't made it worse. There were clear moments in the last two games, the fall he took at the end in Oklahoma City, and then when Draymond Green slapped him across the wrist in Houston, those were two clear moments that the wrist got worse. And we've heard James say since that, well, what he needs is just not to bang it, that it can get back to normal as long as he doesn't have one of those major setbacks in a game. And of course, the obvious response to that is, well, why not just sit out entirely? And we'll get to that in a moment, the possibility of him doing that down the stretch. But for now, the good news is that, yes, he did get out of the Portland game without re-aggravating it, without having one of those moments. So I guess that's a positive. The downside is that, well, he's not clearly himself. And I saw some folks on Twitter saying, well, how much is the wrist and how much is, just him having a bad night? Guys, look at the box score, and also trust your eyes. Look at the James Harden that's on the floor. Yeah, he had 30 points and 8 rebounds. He also had just 4 assists, a season low. He got those 30 points on 30 shots, only went to the free throw line 7 times. What I saw out of James Harden, he wants to win, he wants to compete, but he is not trusting that wrist. I didn't see him probe as much. I didn't see him attack the rim as much. He didn't take the contact he normally does, which is reflected in the lower free throw attempts. He also did not drive as hard to the bucket, which is where the lack of assists comes in, because typically it's kind of a drive and kick situation to collapse the defense. You need him to be aggressive off the dribble and draw a double team, and he wasn't really doing that. That's why he had just 4 assists. I know he shot the ball 30 times, and some folks are going to say, well, he shot it 30 times, and that's involving his love for us. Why doesn't that hurt? No, he said repeatedly, if you actually listen to how he breaks down the injury, that a lot of times throughout a game, it doesn't bother him at all. It's not a matter of every single thing he does is painful, that taking a shot is painful. It's the potential of a setback, of something happening to make that wrist worse, as it did against the Thunder and Warriors. And that, to me, is manifesting itself in kind of a new version of James that's not as aggressive and thus not as efficient as the guy we've come to know and love as the MVP of the NBA over the first 70-plus games of the year. Now, what should the Rockets do moving forward? I think you guys know my take. I would sit in because these games aren't that meaningful. I definitely don't expect it to happen tonight because in Golden State, that's a statement game. National TV, unfortunately, it is what it is. I think maybe after you get through this stretch of 3 marquee opponents, national TV games, maybe you see Harden against kind of the weak opponents they have coming up to close out the schedule. Maybe then he will think about taking a day off. The flip side, though, it's not that he has to take a day off. Thursday was a positive in the sense that he got through that game against Portland without further re-aggravation. So maybe if he can do that, then over the course of time it'll get better, just as it did for Pat Beverly when he was dealing with a wrist injury in early January, and he didn't really take any kind of significant time off. So it's possible if he doesn't have something to make it worse, that yes, it can get better without actual rest. It's not implausible. But if that's the route that he wants to go, as Rockets fans, we have to realize that in the meantime, well, he's not himself. Now, the Rockets are still better with Harden out there than not. Let's not act like he's a net negative. He's still really freaking good. But we're talking about the MVP standard that he has set. So if he's limited, there's no magic cure. You can't just snap your fingers and have this situation go away. Now, some folks want to rest, and I get it. To me, that seems like the safer play. It is possible for him to play through it and not re-aggravate it, and at some point he's going to get healthy, or at least healthier. It's a riskier play, but it's certainly possible. If that's what he wants to do, certainly his opinion matters some. But in the meantime, we just need to be honest with ourselves and realize that, well, he's not going to be himself when he's playing in a lot of pain. And the Rockets, with a limited James Harden, no Ryan Anderson, and also no Montrezl Harrell option, it's going to be tough for them against good teams, especially when you go up against a Portland team that's desperate. They had a lot to play for, playing for the 8 seed. The Rockets don't have as much to play for. And, well, without Harden, the guys that are kind of the secondary options, with Harden not quite himself and Ryan out, Lou Williams, 5 of 16, Eric Gordon, 5 of 12. We know there's a lot of variability with those types of players, and, well, some nights they're going to be on, as they were against Oklahoma City on Sunday, and others they're going to be off, as they were the last 2 against the Warriors and Blazers. Again, that's why you need Harden. The big priority for the Rockets going down the stretch should be to have Harden back in MVP form by the playoffs, because without that, there's just not enough consistency from the rest of the roster to reasonably expect big-time results against quality opponents. Last thing I'll throw out before moving on to bigger picture things: the MVP race. I saw a lot of folks freaking out on Twitter, a kind of a sluggish performance for Harden, especially down the stretch, had a couple of poor shots and ill-advised turnovers. Look, the guys who vote on this award are not as fickle as the talking heads you see on First Take or Undisputed or whatever the show may be, or just the loudmouths on Twitter. This is an award that's voted on by people, a very small subset, about 125 voters, that follow the NBA like hardly anyone on this planet. They have watched every game from the start of the year, and Twitter is like an echo chamber. You have a bunch of loudmouths who find the latest narrative, they say it over and over again, it gets retweeted, and before you know it, any kind of semblance of a message gets lost amid the hysteria. The bottom line, Harden's MVP case is not based on 1 or 2 games. It is based on totality of the evidence, what he's meant to the Rockets all season long, the fact that they're 51-24, clearly a top 3 seed in a pretty tough Western Conference, and despite the supporting cast between the Rockets and Thunder not being that different, the Rockets have had demonstrably better results because Harden is a better leader and because, well, he makes his teammates better. He is doing more with similar, I'll say. I won't say more with less, but he's doing more with similar. And that is the difference between Russell Westbrook and James Harden. It's that efficiency. Folks have seen it all year long. I thought a lot of smart folks were saying the same thing after the Rockets beat down Oklahoma City on Sunday. That was the 73rd game of the year. And now, what, since then, we've had two games with the Rockets in which Harden is clearly limited by the wrist. Everybody knows it. You have two games in which Westbrook's played very well against Dallas and Orlando, two mediocre at best teams, actually one of them Orlando just being plain bad. We've had the Rockets just go through a two-game rough patch. Russell have two games of brilliance, and all of a sudden that's going to change what we already knew, what we already saw from the first 73 games. These two games, by the way, two games that are pretty much completely meaningless for the Rockets, that's going to completely change the narrative. No, I don't buy that at all. That's a hot take. That's what people need to fuel these day-to-day shouting matches, but those are not the people that are voting on the award. The voters have a much more reasoned, big-picture criteria, and so if you thought Sunday that James was not going to win MVP, then fine. I don't agree with you, but if you're already worried about it then whatever, more power to you. What I'm trying to push back on is this narrative that something's changed over the last two games. Quite frankly, it's just too late for that to change, barring something extraordinary, such as the Rockets like losing out and falling into the four spots, something crazy. I think this MVP award is still clearly James Harden because it's an award built on the totality of the evidence, so I would not freak out about that. If you want to freak out about something, it's about the Rockets' level of play. It's about you want to see them build a little bit of continuity before the playoffs. They still got a chance to do that. Hopefully Harden's wrist gets better. They should get Ryan Anderson back in a few more days, so maybe you start to play better. I don't like seeing them struggle for two consecutive games against good opponents, and you know the odds are not great tonight in Oakland against the Warriors. So if you want to worry about something, worry about how the team is playing. I would not worry too much about James Harden, the MVP campaign. It's an 82-game award, and over 82 games, there are going to be lots of two-game blips in either direction for both candidates. Making the last two games into any more than that, well, that's the hot take, people. And well, I know they're annoying, but guys, most of them don't vote. Now, we'll get back to the show in just a minute. For now, I do want to pause and acknowledge our wonderful sponsors over at SeatGeek because, guys, the NBA playoffs is coming up. Tickets are going to be hard to acquire unless you're the Andersons. And, well, if you want to buy tickets to any of the Rockets playoff games, to me, SeatGeek is the ideal place to do it because, well, they make it easy to find the best deal, the best bang for your buck. A lot of those older ticket sites, they know that buying tickets is a confusing process. They use the confusion to their advantage. But SeatGeek, guys, they're different. They've come along, created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans like us to buy and sell tickets. The best part of this is that as my listeners here at Locked On Rockets, if you want to use that to get into a Rockets playoff game, I like to use them all the time. It's very simple what you do, and you get a very big perk for being a Locked On Rockets listener. Use the LO Rockets promo code, and you get a $20 rebate in the mail off of your first SeatGeek purchase. To get that, here's what you do. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, then enter the promo code LO Rockets. From there, SeatGeek will send you $20 in the mail after you've made your first ticket purchase. So remember, download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Rockets today. Now jumping back into the show, I want to spend the second half kind of talking a little bigger picture for the Rockets because, well, these games, let's be real, they are not that meaningful to the Rockets as a team. We would like to see them play better. We'd like to see them, above all else, show signs that they're healthier. We'd like to see James Harden's wrist get better. We'd like to see Ryan Anderson come back and show that he can trust the ankle before the playoffs. But by and large, we know this is the three seed in the Western Conference. They're pretty much locked in as far as what they're going to expect late in April when the playoffs roll around. So if they're healthy, if that happens, what is this team's upside? We've certainly seen it in phases, such as the Oklahoma City game on Sunday. Well, to talk about that a little more, got a kind of a special treat for you guys. You haven't heard it in a few months, but on occasion, there's an anonymous NBA coach that comes on Locked On NBA. That's the national show on this Locked On podcast network hosted by David Locke, the radio play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz and the founder of the Locked On podcast network. Well, under the premise of anonymity, he gets a current NBA coach to come on the show and kind of give him a little bit of a scouting report, what he sees around the league. And he asked him about Houston and their playoff prospects earlier this week. If you haven't heard it yet, here's that conversation.
The easy comment is that Houston's system doesn't work. They're who I want to play in the playoffs. My comment, particularly in case of the Jazz, I know a lot of Jazz fans, oh, we've beat them twice, we should play them. The Jazz had to have like offensive ratings of over 120 to beat them both times, which, and I'm like, okay, that's pretty hard to replicate, particularly in the playoffs. What is it? Why did you just say that you think Houston is going to be a hard out when I think most people are taking the easy route on that and saying, no, I want to, Houston's a team you want to play in the playoffs. Why do you feel differently?
Well, first of all, you know, they score. And if you go back and look, you know, defense wins, don't get me wrong. And, you know, we can talk about that as we get into the playoff stuff. Houston just has the ability to score at such a rate. And, you know, the game does slow down a little bit in the playoffs. But they're playing at such a nice pace, a nice rate. It'll slow down a little bit, but they're still going to shoot the threes. And they still have, but four of the top 10 three-point makers in the regular season. So they're still going to make those. And the one thing people don't realize about Houston is, you know, their defensive rating is right at midway in the league. They're 17th. So it's not like, you know, in years past when, you know, maybe they were, you know, top two or three offensively, especially with D'Antoni's teams, and then bottom two or three defensively. Jeff Lozdelic in Houston has done a great job. And, you know, for the season, like I said, they're ranked 17th right now. And I believe, I haven't checked it lately, but I believe their pick and roll defense is like pushing the top 10. So if you put those two things together, there's a combination for the way they play offensively, and their defense isn't just atrocious, that they're going to be a hard out.
I thought that was very good commentary from David and the coach. Of course, the coach is anonymous because he's not going to go on the record and share observations like that. My biggest takeaway, it's clear folks around the league really respect the impact of Jeff Bezdelic and Mike D'Antoni and the coaching in place in Houston this year. Thought he drew a good parallel to past years, especially two of the last three, the 8-seed team last year, and even the team that won 54 games and was a 4-seed in Dwight Howard's first season in Houston a couple of years back. Those were teams you knew you could exploit defensively. You knew you could use their lack of discipline against them. This is a team, as good as they are offensively, they're not bad on the defensive end. And as he pointed out, in terms of pick-and-roll defense, they're pushing the top 10. So when the Rockets are right, that's kind of the ultimate caveat here. When the Rockets are right, because they're not fully healthy now, I've got a couple of guys out, and well, James, while playing, clearly not himself. But when they're right, they can be really, really good because there's not a weakness. And even though they don't have the personnel to be a great defensive team, the coaching is good enough to where they've been very stout. So when you combine that with the offense, I think they're a pretty tough out, as he said. And I think that's a really good take from a coach's perspective, because we know there's going to be a lot of talking heads over the next 2 weeks that talk down on the Rockets because it's stupid, it's ridiculous, because so much of it is circumstantial, but there's this narrative out there that Mike D'Antoni, his style is not great for the playoffs. The Rockets are not playing their best ball right now, although we know it's injury-related. That's not going to stop the talking heads. And, well, everybody wants to pick an upset, but nobody's going to pick against the Spurs or the Warriors. So it's going to be sexy to pick a team like the Rockets go down the first round, especially if they're going up against Oklahoma City and Russell Westbrook, who's the darling of all these hot take heads, it seems. So I know there's going to be a lot made of the Rockets being a potential upset pick. But guys, a lot of this is uninformed. Here is a guy who actually studies, lives the game on a day-to-day basis, who's telling you what he sees about the Rockets. He's not talking to me here at Locked On Rockets. He's not talking to anyone in the Rockets community. This is a national show. He can say whatever he wants, and, well, he's explaining why, in his eyes, they're a tough out. So, again, big picture. These games, the last two the Rockets have played, they're pretty much meaningless. The Rockets are locked into that 3-seed. The question for them is health. And if they get there, well, there's a lot to look forward to by the time they get to the playoffs. One of the concepts that I pointed out on this show before is that a lot of folks say in the playoffs it's easier to scout for the Rockets. Actually, if anything, I would say when you look at the actual X's and O's of it, the opposite is probably true. He made a point of the coach of how the Rockets continue to put pressure on you with how they score. And I think over the course of a 7-game series, you might could have a game, you know, one or two against the Rockets where they shoot 8 of 34 from 3 as they did last night. But over the course of 7 games, that stuff is going to even out. And there's so much of a cumulative toll. In one night, you might get kind of lucky. They're missing their shots. You have a lot of energy. But over 7 games, having that many shooters for the top 10 in the NBA, now after last night, the most three-pointers by a team in NBA history, and there's still 7 full games to go, there's a cumulative effect of that kind of offense that I think can be very significant in a playoff setting. So as we close out the podcast, I really wanted to kind of play back that because I think that's kind of a good way to make people think a little bigger picture than just as opposed to the noise that we've heard over the past 2 games, the sense of panic because, oh, the Rockets are losing games. They haven't had many losing streaks. And James Harden's not playing that well at the same time that Russell Westbrook is having these ridiculous games. There's just a little bit of an artificial panic, I would say. And guys, big picture, nothing's changed from the optimism we had when they gave the Thunder the beatdown on Sunday and were 51-22. This is the same team. The question for the Rockets is just, quite frankly, getting healthy and being ready to go by the playoffs. And well, y'all know my take. I would prefer Harden to rest, but he's a competitor. He wants to be a leader, and especially now with these 2 games against the Warriors. His eyes light up. He wants to play, and well, it's not impossible for the rest to get better by playing. Just look at Pat Beverly from 2 months ago. But when you're analyzing the Rockets, I don't see any significant concerns in terms of the last 2 games other than they just need to get healthy. All the other stuff, it's just noise. Big picture, assuming the Rockets can get back to health, they should be just fine when the playoffs roll around in a couple of weeks. Anyway, I will wrap it there because, well, I'm going to be talking with you again in, well, just a few hours because the Rockets back at it tonight in Oakland against the Golden State Warriors, another nationally televised game, this one on ESPN. Anyway, I appreciate you guys so much, as always, for listening to me here on Locked On Rockets. The show you can follow on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. Me, I'm Ben Dubose. Follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. Also, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. That's the email address. Questions, suggestions, or advertising inquiries. Anything you can do to learn more about the Houston Rockets, anything we can do to kind of help you become more informed, we would love to do that. Also, as I said, advertising inquiries, if you'd like to become a sponsor of this rapidly growing program, just as SeatGeek was today. Remember, download that SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LORockets, and you can get a $20 rebate off of your first purchase from SeatGeek. For now, I will leave it there. Look forward to talking with you guys in just a few hours when the Rockets take on the Warriors in Golden State. We'll see if the Rockets can avoid one of their only 3-game losing streaks of the year. Talk with you then.